in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight.
Still got a lot of stuff to get to this morning, guys. Top 8 at 8 coming up. Special guest coming up at the bottom of the hour. But I want to get to these grades that were handed out or revealed yesterday. Every year, the NFLPA does this. They poll players and families and I think members of the support staff just to see how they're doing. Which, first of all, from a like transparency standpoint, I love it. I love this idea of how we doing. You know, do you like being a member of our franchise's community? And the Packers, Gabe, I thought they did pretty well, all things considered.
Yeah, finished 7th overall, you know, with all the other NFLPA teams. Nothing but A's and B's across the board. A couple of, you know, head-scratching ones, like Matt LaFleur ended up getting an A-minus as a coach.
Great.
Right? Like, they're feeling pretty good. Apparently a lot of people love their coaches nowadays in the NFL because that ranked 20th in the NFL despite getting an A-. So a lot of love for coaches in this year's NFLPA report card.
Even though, as Chewy says, there's a lot of bad coaches out there. I mean, maybe bad is not fair, but there's some average coaches. Like, what exactly are you grading coaches on? Is there criteria there for coaches specifically? Because to your point, having an A- feels like it should be in the top, you know, whatever percent of the respondents, and here you're saying that it's near the bottom.
93% of Packers players feel that LaFleur was efficient with their time. However, players feel that LaFleur is moderately receptive to locker room feedback on the team's needs, ranking him 23rd out of 32. Those are the two that they made note of on the Packers report card on the NFLPA
site. To be honest with you, Chu, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a coach being moderately receptive to player feedback. The coach shouldn't acquiesce to every demand or every idea that players have. It's why he's the coach, right? Of all the things that you could be like critical of, that I'm fine with.
Yeah, I mean, looking at these grades, they're spoiled little brats.
Okay, all right. Take away the lockers.
Spoiled brats.
One jock strap per position group.
The locker room is a B. Did they ever see what our locker room looked like?
Highly doubtful.
I mean, they're spoiled little brats.
A lot of these guys weren't born then.
Well, but also I will say this, Chu. Some of these guys are comparing the locker room to what they had in college. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a big difference. It's quite a discrepancy. You know what I mean? Like, if they're going, well, we had better locker room perks, if you will.
Especially when you're the youngest team in the league.
My BC locker room was 10 times better than the Green Bay locker room. But I love the Green Bay locker room.
No,
I love
you
being
didn't.
In my little corner. Yeah.
Complain. I mean, you still complain about the locker room and how you had to like pee on your feet because you guys didn't have the appropriate stuff for athlete's foot and you only had one jock strap. You still complain about it to this day.
The training staff is a B. I mean, give me a break. Look, we would get yelled at, literally yelled at by Holmgren because we hung out, not because you were injured, but we hung out in the training room because we love Flea, who's the head trainer, and Kurt Fielding, who's been there forever, who still texts me today, have a relationship with. They are the great. I mean, these guys, gee. I would love to play them. I would love our 96 team to play these guys, and it wouldn't even be close.
Here we go.
Wouldn't even be close.
I'm sure someone can simulate that in this day and age, right? Isn't there a way on Madden or something to play the 96 Packers versus the 2024 Packers?
Yeah, and the 96 Packers would dominate. I'm with Chewy on that.
Gabe, what I'm would you saying, give their locker room?
We could make this happen.
You've been in the locker room. What would you give their locker room?
I haven't been in the locker room in 2 years. It's fine. It's a fine locker room.
Oh, my God.
But again, Chu, it's not even close compared to some of these college locker rooms. I get to walk through most of them when I go and do stories and feature shoots at the SEC locker rooms. Blow your mind.
Really?
Absolutely. They got, like, massage chairs in the lockers, right? Like, they got, like, little remote controls to change the LED lights, like,
TVs
around there. I mean, it is insane, the stuff that they have now. But I want to get to this. Dolphins, Vikings, Falcons, Raiders, Chargers rounded out the top five. Chargers made the biggest jump. They went from 30th to 5th. Is that all Harbaugh? Is that all Harbaugh coming in and changing culture and this and this and this and this?
It's not just Harbaugh. You went from Staley to Harbaugh.
Yeah.
So that's a huge jump. You went from somebody that nobody liked to Harbaugh, who is universally respected across the sport.
Chargers were classic for being cheap, and I have a feeling Harbaugh put an end to that. Like, he turned it into a top-flight facility, and the amenities, I'm sure, were all upgraded via his demands. Like, you hey, we're running a serious thing here.
You know what we cared about the most back in my day?
Winning. Winning, Jew. That's what you cared about the most.
Jen, how good the coffee was. There would
I was
going to
say food, but...
Not even food, like coffee, and then they'd never have it today. Like, we had, you know, like a McDonald's soda thing.
Oh, know, like the
drink stuff.
Yeah, the soda machine?
Yeah. And we were happy as clams.
Okay. The Washington Commanders were ranked 32nd, which makes sense, in the past two report cards. We have used the Washington Commanders as the example of being able to flip a franchise to go from worst to not first, but close to first. They jumped to 11 in the second year since the ownership group changed from Dan Snyder to Josh Harris. I wonder if this has any impact on free agents. That's my concern. I really don't give two craps, if I'm being honest, as a person out here where I sit. If the Packers like the facilities, like the coaches, families are treated well, it's a feather in their cap. What I care about, though, is does this change the mind or does it influence free agents at all, Gabe, to want to be in Green Bay? Or at least a, they're not the number one team, but they're a top 10 team. Players like it. You know, when we talk about Josh Jacobs going out there and campaigning for the Green Bay Packers, calling up guys, does something like this help?
Maybe 1-2%. I mean, obviously, if you're a free agent, chances are you're going to the highest bidder, right? Like, so that's probably your first priority. Second priority is this team good? Like, and do we have an opportunity to win? And if, like, if you get to, like, tiebreakers down the line of, well, I've got two pretty similar offers from two teams that are competitive. Okay, what are the facilities like? What's the culture like? Like, maybe you eventually arrive to some of these things, but maybe I mean, 1, maybe 2%. Yeah. Sure, you're the former player. You tell me.
No, I know. And in Green Bay, it still has that moniker of it's Green Bay. That's why they have to win. If they didn't win, let's just say they went on a stretch of sub 500 for 5-6 years, you got to go back to the old days of overpaying guys grossly. You know, because no one's going to go to, it's flipping Green Bay. I'm coming from New York to Green Bay. They went 4-13 last year or whatever. That's then you have to look at, well, they're going to pay me $1 million more a year than this team is. That's why they can never get to that point. Or they wouldn't get free agents. Reggie helped so much. Once Reggie went there, the floodgates were like, wow.
Well, yeah, and I mean, Chewy, again, you've talked about the condition of your locker room and you had to pay for certain things. That did not matter to Reggie. What mattered to Reggie is that the Packers gave him the most money.
I think it...
And Brett had signed because he was an up-and-comer, and he's like, okay, I think we can win it here. And
yeah.
They just sold it. They sold it real well.
Yeah, and again, the money helped.
Ownership for the Green Bay Packers got an A-. Would anyone care to explain that one to me?
It seems like Mark Murphy's nice. It's just the things he say publicly that we don't like.
Well, Mark Murphy's not the owner. Like, again, isn't it interesting how Mark Murphy, as president of the Green Bay Packers, gets automatically de facto dropped into the owner bucket?
Well, it's because he serves as the team owner. Like, he's the guy serving as that role, making those decisions as an owner would for any other franchise.
But I don't know if the board of directors, because, I mean, it was a little annoying back in the day when the executive board would come through the locker room before a game and give you the old good luck. I mean, it's fine, but you're in a headspace where you really don't want to see anyone. I don't know if they're included in that because they could be, you know.
They don't still do that, do they?
I mean, they run the show.
Yeah, there's got to be some self-awareness there, though.
Oh, there's no self-awareness whatsoever. None.
I do think it's interesting the Packers have improved under Matt LaFleur. They weren't bad at all, but like I remember them last year, they were 12th in terms of this. And some of the stuff that's shown gains is like the treatment of families and stuff has improved greatly.
Which is
for
still
them.
Just a B on this report card.
Yeah, I remember that being lower in years previous. I think it was in the C area. So, like, they are getting better and higher. It seems like it really only matters if you're one of those bottom teams.
Okay, I'll tell you this, Chu, and this might intrigue you a little bit. Strength coaches is one of the worst grades that the Packers got. It got a B, 27th out of 32 teams. It says players feel that the strength coaches moderately contribute to their overall success.
That's
a new strength.
They just replaced that whole team.
I would chalk that up to, because wasn't Gizzy the strength coach before this strength coach who played for Green Bay? You know, there's a bond that you like. Kent Johnson. You've heard me talk about Kent Johnson, strength coach for years and years. Him and Brett were best friends. Everyone loved Kent, but then you would go through a switch because Kent went with Holmgren to Seattle and took his assistant Barry Rubin, who was awesome. So I think there may be a little of that. This guy kind of came out from another program, and they loved Gizzy. So that's what I would chalk that up.
They
just don't know him well enough yet.
What I find most interesting about the cumulative was, and I mentioned this earlier, Dolphins, Vikings, Falcons, Raiders, Chargers, top five. Well, how many of those are winning franchises or were winning franchises this past year?
So what were they again?
Dolphins.
Okay, no.
Vikings.
Yes.
Falcons.
No.
Raiders.
No.
Chargers.
Yes.
So there you go.
But let me tell you
this.
I'm just saying,
no indication of success. It would be one thing if all five or four of the five were playoff teams last year, and you could be like, well, yeah, winning absolves everything. You know, when you're winning, everything feels glowy and happy. Not the case. Several of these teams.
Were you talking overall grade or weight room?
Yes. Overall grade.
Okay. Because when it comes to the weight room, those warm weather climates have part of the weight room outside, and guys just love lifting outside. It is so cool.
That's such a meathead.
I'm just telling you. Yeah, it's such a meathead thing, but
you take
your shirt off.
I was about to say, you get
a little sun.
Shirt's coming off.
You know,
a little sweat. Yeah.
Work on the tan. Yeah. Couple curls for the girls.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's luscious.
Let me tell you about our friends at Ewald Automotive Group. The best used cars are available right now, starting under $15,000. That's right. Choose from hundreds of hand-selected quality used vehicles, all with a 133-point inspection, all with a 3-day exchange policy, and all starting under $15,000. The best used cars starting under $15,000 only at the Ewald Automotive Group. Ewald always makes it easy. I trust them. You need to trust them too, especially with these used car prices that they have going on right now. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things because it's like, I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my apple.
All right,
can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I am absolutely pumped to watch college basketball's best players shine on the court, chasing the ultimate trophy. Yes, it is tournament time. So where will you be watching the magic happen? Make Potawatomi Sportsbook your place to catch all the high-flying action. With a massive video wall, sports betting kiosks, excellent drink specials, and more, it's a basketball fan's paradise. Bet above the rest only at Potawatomi Sportsbook.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh?
One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we got, Gabe?
List 8 things you and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we'll open it up to the fans on that Carpless Talk and text line 800-990-3776. All right, so the list today. We are 4 weeks away. 4 weeks from today, Brewers opening up their season in New York. They'll be doing so with a new shortstop. Who that will be is still to be determined. So I am looking for the last 8 Brewers opening day shortstops.
Oh my gosh. What in the world?
Last eight Brewers opening day shortstops.
800-990-3776. That's the Carbless Talkin' text line if you want to get in on the action. I have a feeling we're going to need y'all pretty quickly. The Brewers opening day starting shortstops?
Yep, the last eight.
Willie Adames.
He's number one on the list. He started the last three.
Okay.
Good luck, Jen.
You're such a doofus. This is not good. This is not great. This is tough. It's funny because I can picture guys like rotating through first base. I can picture guys rotating through like the opening day starter. Whew, shortstop. God bless America.
I believe in you to get this next one.
You do, huh?
Yes.
That's awfully kind of you.
Well, they swapped one for one.
God bless America.
I mean, there's a couple names on here. I expected them to get like three or four.
Yeah.
Because usually they come up with, you know, one miracle one.
This guy shares a first name with a city.
They traded him. They traded him in the middle of the season.
Arcia. Early. Orlando Arcia.
Orlando Arcia.
City.
Four
the
time.
The city was the clue, Joshy.
Four-time opening day starter at shortstop, number three on the list.
800-990-3776. Why don't you go ahead and start getting callers lined up here on the Carbless Talkin' text line. You got anything, Chew?
There's some tough
was
ones
Was that the
on
one
here.
They traded? Was that the guy they traded?
They did trade Orlando Arcia, yes.
That's who I was talking about?
I believe so.
All right, let's go with Ozzie Newsome.
Ozzie Newsome is incorrect.
Not on the list.
Incorrect on Ozzie Newsome.
I'm out.
There's you got this one, Jen. There's one that's not in order, but I think you can get it.
So, obviously, I know that J.J. Hardy started years and years and years at shortstop for the Brewers. I almost said Green Bay Packers. But I think that goes back too far. Joshy, don't give me that look. I can't tell if he means you're on the right track or you're completely wrong.
Well, you got nothing right now, so might be worth it just to try.
How about Gene Segura?
Gene Segura, number five on the list. A three-time opening day starter at shortstop for the Brewers in 15, 14, and 13.
Again, 800-990-3776. Please start calling to play Top 8 at 8. So, there is no way I am going to be able to rattle off the last eight Brewers shortstops who started opening day.
Those were the three I thought you guys would get because they're the only multiple-time starters on the list. Everybody else now, the other five, only started one season at shortstop.
So then J.J. Hardy can't be on the
really?
List because he was there year in and year out in the late 2000s.
There's one guy I feel like was around for a decent while. Maybe.
Yeah, but he probably only started the one opening day.
Interesting.
Gosh, this is tough. So if J.J. Hardy, I'm gonna have to bow out gracefully here, guys. I don't think I can get any more.
This may take a while.
Shortstops.
I think people are gonna. I have faith in the Brewers fans out there. 800-990-3776. Opening day shortstops for the Brewers.
So my computer here is not working. So we just have to go to people by my memory. So
all right,
I'm two in, and I forgot the second.
Well, it's showing up on the. Just go ahead and just answer them.
Yeah. Yep. First one I know is Dumpy West Penn.
All right, Dumpy.
All right, let's go with Billy Joe Robidoux.
No, that's
first base. You know where he's from? Wear Mass. My brother played against him in football.
All right, hang up.
It's amazing
on him.
That they still
the next
remember
call.
The name. Billy Joe Robidoux.
I think this fella's name might be Bill. Is that correct?
Yep.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill. How you doing, Mike?
Hey. could you guys just reset the list real quick?
They only have three so far. Willie Adames, Orlando Arcia, Gene Segura are 1, 3, and 5 respectively. Opening day shortstops for the Brewers.
Okay. I can't remember if he would be on the list, but Unesky Betancourt.
Uni B started in 2011. He's number 7 on the list. He was, again, that shortstop on one of the best teams in Brewers history.
Bill, can you keep it going? Maybe a little quicker this time?
what about Escobar?
Alcides Escobar started in 2010, wow. The year after J.J. Hardy had departed the Brewers. So that is number 8 on the list, meaning we have 2, 4, and 6 left.
I don't know. What about Luis Urias?
Luis Urias is number 2, started in 2021.
Wow. All right, Bill, let's just get it over with. Come on, give me the last one.
All right. Yeah.
You have 2 more.
Give me the last
2 more.
I wish. I'm out. I cannot remember anymore.
That's good. Good run, though.
Great run. See?
800-990-3776. Joshy, who do we have next?
Mike in Waukesha?
Question mark?
I love how everything's now Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Go ahead, Mike.
All right, so didn't Jonathan Villar?
Jonathan Villar, number 4 on the list. He started at shortstop in 2016, leaving just number 6 on the list.
You got this. Wow. Let's go.
Admittedly, the hardest one.
There's another one and done, right?
Yeah. Admittedly, this is the hardest one.
Is that something stupid like Cesar Torres?
That is incorrect. Incorrect.
Go ahead and reset the list, and we'll get our next caller.
All right. We looking for the last 8 starting shortstops for the Brewers on opening day. 1, Willy Adames. 2, Luis Urias. Orlando Arcia. 3, Jonathan Villar. 4, Gene Segura. 5, do not have 6. Uni Betancourt is number 7, and Alcides Escobar was number 8.
So which number are we looking for?
6.
Number 6. All right. Let's go out to Chef Ed. He's on the line. Chef Ed, can you complete our top 8 list?
I don't know. They stole most of my answers. I'm going to have to really dig deep here. I was going to go with Jonathan Villar, but it's already on. My sister would always call him Villa. I don't know if you hear. How about Alex Gonzalez?
Alex Gonzalez is the correct nice. Answer. He started opening day at shortstop
Chef Ed.
In 2012.
Fireworks that you're supposed to do.
Helps if you have your microphone.
I know.
Too.
I was trying to do it as the background of your mic,
sure.
Right? And then I was like, no, you can't hear the firework explosion. All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Congratulations to Chef Ed. He won our top 8 list. Gabe, just out of curiosity, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely did you think it was that Chewy and I, again, Chewy and Jen,
mm-hmm.
would nail the shortstops for opening day
well, you
for
got the
Milwaukee Brewers?
You got the 3 I thought you would get.
We got our quota.
Yeah. You guys hit. If I was, I thought maybe you'd pull out a random one and potentially get the 4th, but I was expecting those 3.
Every once in a while, I do appreciate that Chewy has the lowest bar ever.
Although our stock has moved up to 9.
Oh, really?
Down from 26.
What happened?
26, it went to 6, you said, after the Alex Stroh video. Yeah. Now we're at 9?
Does it go up if Jen shows the shirtless Chewy picture on video?
Just so you know, I was like, where are you going with this game?
I was
going
to say,
if Jen
shows shirtless, we might go to 35.
Now we've got the...
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Here, you can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
Numb,
what is with you two today?
Numb.
Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Was my mic on? Oh, thank you, Joshy. Joshy's saving me over there. Big Bucks game tonight as the Bucks are welcoming the Nuggets to town. Everybody likes to watch Giannis v. Jokic. And this is a tough stretch for the Bucks. They play the Mavericks, they play the Hawks, they play the Mavericks, they play the Cavs, who are just absolutely crushing. And then a few weeks from now, they play the Lakers. So it's going to be a good little stretch here for the Milwaukee Bucks. Good test for them. And speaking of the Milwaukee Bucks, we are pleased to be joined by executive producer and co-host of The Analysis, Tony Cartagena, is in studio with us now to make a big announcement. Tony, I know that you've already dropped it on social media. People are already aware, but our loyal listeners would love to hear what you have to say this morning.
March 29th, 2025, The Analysis Live is back. So we're going to do a live podcast. We did one last year where Giannis was the star of the show. Stephen A. Smith was a surprise guest. And when I say surprise, No one knew he was coming except the Nassus, myself, and a couple other key people. Not Giannis.
I was about to
anybody.
Say, how much of a surprise was it? Did you even know that Stephen A. was coming?
Oh, we knew. Last year, so I'll get into this year's show in a second, but last year's show was so scripted down to the minute where when Giannis went on stage at 7:15, Stephen A. was allowed to come off the elevator at Pato at 7:20 to go into the green room. Like, we had this thing. There were times where in the Bucks locker room, I was talking to Thanasis about the show. He's like, I got to go over here. And, like, would get away from Giannis to keep it a complete secret.
Well, and I mean, if you saw Giannis's face, if you've watched it on YouTube or you've seen some of the clips that circulated, he was shocked.
He was very shocked.
He was like, what are you doing here? So that was pretty cool. I said to you, Potawatomi is a great host for this event. They pulled out all the stops, made it feel very big, made it feel very special. We had a sold out crowd last year, and I imagine you guys are taking it to another level this year. How do you top what you guys did last year, Tony?
That's what I've been thinking about for the last year. We are
Giannis and Stephen A's pretty good fastball.
It's a tough one to follow. You mentioned Pato real quick. The event is open to all ages, which is really cool, especially I know it's at a casino, but it's in the event center because they host us there. So all ages are available to come out. And purposely this year, we haven't announced what our panel or who our guests are going to be because we're going to slow roll those out to the fans. And we got some tricks up our sleeves. Let's just leave it. We got some tricks up our sleeves.
All right. So you mentioned last year, live show, really cool. Where can people kind of watch that to get a feel of what the event could be? Where can people then, if they see that, motivated then to go see Thanalysis Live 2025, where can they get tickets?
Absolutely. So if you just check out either ESPN Milwaukee or Thanalysis Show on any social media platform, the Eventbrite link is right there. Eventbrite is a whole URL. We don't have to, no one's going to memorize that, right? But go to any of our social media platforms, ESPN Milwaukee, Thanalysis Show. Right at the top, you'll see the Eventbrite link to get tickets. You'll also see videos of last year's show and how we kind of put on this massive, massive production. Because this is not just a let two guys walk, sit on stage and listen to them do a podcast. This is a full-out production with some of the biggest names in basketball that our city has to offer.
Tony Cartagena joining us now to talk about Thanalysis Live, which we have just announced the date for, and we are announcing how you can get tickets. I am watching currently the Thanalysis show on YouTube. That's where you can find last year's show, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Stephen A. Smith, etc., and Tony promises that they are pulling out all the stops. It will be even bigger this year. So, you sit down with Thanasis, obviously still working through the injury, you know, trying to get back to full strength. He's a really captivating character.
He's amazing.
A really interesting dude. What has surprised you most about working with Thanasis and getting to know him, not just as a basketball player, but more of a personality, more of a dude?
So everyone knows their backstory, whether you've seen the documentaries or the Disney movie or just, you know, you're in Milwaukee and you know their upbringing. So you assume him and the family, they're going to be very hard workers. They're grinders. You see what Giannis does on the court. It shows. And then you get to meet them, and it blows your expectations away tenfold. Like, the amount of work he puts into every single detail of the podcast, whether it's camera production or camera quality, lighting, scripting, guests, every single detail. And it's not just the pod. It's just, you know, his clothing brand, his workouts, everything that that these guys do is so, I don't know when they sleep. I don't fully understand it. And it's incredible. I've been approached by athletes before who are like, I want to do a podcast. I want to do this. They just want to show up for 30 minutes a week and, like, just talk and not prepare or do anything. TA is, like, in the lab every single day sending messages. I'm going to talk about this. Let's get into this. Let's call this person so we're more educated on what the second apron means. I still don't know, but he's got a full breakdown of it. Like, and it's just that grind is what attracted me to be like, yeah, we're going to turn the show into something.
Has he been able to even focus? I mean, with the injury, I know he's going through rehab, but you guys have had unbelievable. Outside of the live show, still have had some unbelievable guests on the show, regardless of it being live or not.
Regardless of it being live, we've had, you know, some of the we did a 3-hour sit down with Brian Windhorst that we released in two different parts. Giannis crashed a show right before Christmas, right after the Bucks clinched the trip to Vegas for the NBA Cup. He just jumped in the studio. He just literally you can only do this in Milwaukee. We're in a studio. Giannis knows where his studio is. He's knocking on the door at 11:30 at night outside by himself. And we had to go open the door for him. And like, but you mentioned between the rehab, the schedule has been mornings, workout, do some podcast stuff, some other business things, work out again, record at night, rinse, repeat. Like, it's nonstop around the clock. That, like, every single aspect of his life is I'm going to work at getting back on the court. I'm going to work at the pod.
I'm interested in your approach, Tony, because this is, in some ways, Thanasis's way of stepping out of Giannis's shadow, his way of doing his own thing, creating his own mark. And yet there is an insatiable curiosity about his brother, Giannis Antetokounmpo. How do you balance that when you're working with Thanasis? How do you let him shine in clearly something he's very good at, but also tap into there is this curiosity about your brother. People can't get enough about what drives him and how what he's doing, what he's up to. How do you balance that?
It's interesting because everything we do, fans gravitate toward, whether he's talking about the Miami Heat or the Milwaukee Bucks. But we try to make it just like super clear. Like TA is just so well versed in everything. So when he has something to say about his brother or their upbringing, we know it's coming direct from the source and people really tune into that. However, the show is not a biography about Giannis, right? So we try to balance that with all the other things that we do. And we've made it super clear. Like, I'm going to press him on questions. When Giannis was out with the calf injury, we record and we leave everything in the podcast. And I'm like, all right, you know about the calf injury. You have to tell us something. And he responds. He goes, I know about the calf injury, but I'm not telling you anything. And, like, fans still, like, are on the edge of their seats knowing when there's information to divulge or there's a report. The interview, we released an episode earlier this week. Giannis told Greek media he's not going to ask for a trade. Shams the next day says he could ask for a trade. And so I start the show, and I was like, we can't do a show for our fans where I don't ask you about this. And he goes, let's break it down. So we play the audio, we get into it, and he just goes, I believe the exact quote is, neither one of them lied. And, like, kind of left it at that. It was very ambiguous, but it also was very intriguing to hear that perspective of neither one of them lied with their reports, because I was all anti-Shams that morning. I was like, he just said this 36 hours ago. And it's tough because I want to try to get all of that information out there, but we balance it out. Some days he'll go into, oh, hey, this story from our upbringing, you know, about like with their mom or something like that. And it's just like this such a unique perspective that you're not going to get anywhere else. And some episodes will go 3-4 in a row where we don't mention Giannis at all.
Tony Cartagena is the executive producer and co-host of Thanalysis. They've got a live show coming up at Pottawatomie at the end of March. Just check out our social media pages if you're interested in tickets. Outside of the live show with Giannis and Stephen A., best guest you guys have had on the pod?
Ooh, best guest we've had on the pod. We've had... That's a really good one, actually. Do you know, this name is not going to sound like the biggest name in the world, but from an entertainment factor, someone should sign him today. Michael Carter Williams was incredible.
Really?
I mean, and they knew each other from their time in Milwaukee and stuff. He's trying to bring a WNBA team to Boston right now. But, like, entertainment-wise, storytelling-wise, he was electric. And he's one of those guys where if he polishes it up a little bit, we don't have to use the bleep button so much. He'll find himself on a national.
KG doesn't have to use the bleep button.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
I will say this, though. I'm sure that you're finding as you continue down this path that there is a little bit of that matrix of sometimes you're going to have a big name, but they're not all that good
for sure
in the podcast form. And sometimes you get somebody who's not as big of a name, not saying him specifically, but they're fantastic. They're interesting. They have depth. And you're like, how do we sell this? How do we get people to click the play button on somebody that they might not recognize or might not be real, like, innately interested in, but holy moly, was this a great listen.
And that's some of the beauty in this, right? Because, like, you meet these people. So we had an actor by the name of Rotimi on. He went to Northwestern. He had friends at Marquette, so he's very familiar with the Midwest. He's on the show Power. I like the show, but, like, so when I saw him coming, like, hey, we have a chance to get him, let's talk to him. I was like, all right, this will be a fun actor interview. We'll get his story. The show ends. It went, like, 2 hours. And I was like, TA, if you guys ever decide to go into business together, I'm out of a job. Like, he was so, so good. He sang a cappella. He was releasing an album as well. He sang a cappella, and our camera person started tearing up. It was so good. And I was just, like, going into this interview, when I was telling people, like, oh, we got this actor from Power, Rotimi, coming on. He's a big name, but not, like, I don't want to say he's not A-list in Hollywood, but he's getting there. And it was just incredible.
It is a very big deal. Another Thanalysis Live. It is coming to Pottawatomie Casino on March 29th. And Tony mentioned it is an all-ages show, which now means that my 16-year-old, I'm sure, is going to want to be there. He's super invested in the NBA right now. But you can find more information on our social channels, and there will be a link where you can purchase tickets. I can't recommend it enough. We were all a part of it last year when it went on. It's a big event. It was a sold-out, packed space at Pottawatomie. Everything just felt very like high level, which is a huge compliment, right? Like to tell you guys, like, we do this event in Milwaukee. Everything that was done was high level. I believe it won internally for good karma. Right?
It did.
No, you're laughing, but like, that's a big deal. We're up against LA. You're up against Chicago. You're up against these events that go on in New York.
I've been in this company like 10 years, maybe plus. The first ever internal Karma Award I won, I had to team up with an Antetokounmpo to do it. So,
well, listen, there are cheat codes in everything.
There are,
okay.
No?
Well, I mean, as long as you're here, you want to drop any hints about anybody who's going to be there other than Thanasis and yourself?
I thought you were going to ask me this. You specifically would ask me this question. I was just like, what hint could I say that wouldn't completely give it away?
All right.
So I'm going to say that we have, as of yesterday, confirmed one of the biggest, most talented, best MCs and hosts of the evening in the game.
Okay.
She's sitting to your right.
I wasn't going to bite on that one. As soon as he started,
yeah,
I was
that's
like,
one of the surprise guests.
Mother,
one of the first surprise guests.
We are bringing in elite talent to host that evening. Jen, we are super excited to have
that
you back
so
in
nice
all seriousness.
Of you to say. And just for that, I'm going to tell everybody who the big... No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Jen knows? Jen knows these... Who else is going to be there?
It was part of
Jen
the deal.
Knows.
I said, I'll only MC the event if you tell me who's
yeah,
all going
to be
there.
Yeah, you got a hustler on. She shook
honestly,
me down. I was like, hey, can you host this? She's like, if you tell me who it is.
I mean, now I know who to chip away at over the next 4 weeks.
It's true. It's like Elaine. Everybody knows the combination.
I'm glad Chewie's not on this segment because by 8:59, everyone in the world would have known.
1,000,000%. That's a very accurate statement by you. Tony Cartagena, executive producer and co-host of Thanalysis, announcing the next Thanalysis Live at Pottawatomie March 29th. Get your tickets now. We will see you there. Tony, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for that ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. Now, maybe you're not quite sure what your future wife is looking for in a ring. Go to her Pinterest page. See if there's anything on there. Bring it in. And the helpful team at the Jewelry Center is always going to point you in the right direction. Naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, of course, the Jewelry Center is going to have it. Check out the inventory. Stop in at Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or shop online, shoptjc.com. And when you go to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them Gabe and Chew sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
Come on.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Connie's delivers pizzeria taste without pizzeria prices. And when it's on sale for $5.99 at Sendix, it's even better. From the cornmeal dusted thin crust to the all-natural premium ingredients, you'll enjoy the pizzeria experience from your home oven. Seriously, Connie's unbelievable crust. You are going to love it if you haven't tried it. And that's what's great. Get the offer. Get over to Sendix. Get this offer. Stock up. It's a hot offer. Connie's $5.99. It is good until March 4th. Hang on. Head over to Sendix. Get some Connie's for $5.99 each until March 4th.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We had a lot of stuff covered today, guys. We talked about Jair, talked a little bit about the grades in the NFL and where the Packers. But I think the topic that most people enjoyed the most was the Alex Stroff combine. And I think for those folks, there it is. Thank you, Joshy. Look at you and I on the exact same wavelength. If you are streaming the show on YouTube, you can see Alex Stroff completing the combine, particularly the three-cone drill. Oh, man. And you said you've watched it a lot, over and over.
It's, again, one of those things where I'm just hoping that this is fake, and the next one I'll actually see the real running form. Is he just incapable of, like, dropping his hips any lower and actually trying to be somewhat athletic? Like, it's this is like how a video game character from N64 would run. Like, it's just like a big box.
Like, it looks like a Wii character. Remember the old Wii?
It's so unbelievable.
Oh, boy. Chu, what would the first bit of advice you would give to Alex Stroh to improve his running form be?
Take a week off and then quit.
Never do it again.
Don't.
It's as if he had his legs replaced and it was his first time doing agility drill. They just lopped him off and gave him fresh ones. It's so unnatural. It almost looks, and everybody, I sent it to multiple people reach out to me. The overwhelming reaction was, he's doing a thing, right? He's
trying
to be funny.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I was there, watched it all. Participated in every event with him, alongside him, judging. And that's
just like
what
a good friend does.
Yep.
Just like a good friend does.
When he runs his half marathon, which allegedly he's attempting to do, people are just going to run away from him, right? They're going to see this form and be like, what is going on? And like try to like distance themselves from this person.
There's no way you can train for a half marathon with that form. Eventually, I'm being serious,
guys.
You'll
be injured.
Like, eventually, one, yes, injuries because the kinesiology is all jammed up. But two, eventually you will like, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be like that scene in Forrest Gump where he has the braces on and he's running and the braces just fall off. At some point, it's going to take over where it's like, this is the natural running form. I promise you. Well, you cannot train for a half marathon.
Are you sure? Hypothetically, shouldn't that have happened at some point in these sports that he allegedly played throughout the course of his 26 years on this planet?
Okay, let me add one more variable to this, Chu. He said he played soccer. Can you imagine a soccer ball at his feet right now?
No,
do you know what I mean?
No.
He's going to trip over it.
Have you guys seen Pleasantville?
Yes, a long time ago, though.
I think it's more Pleasantville when they start to show color and everyone's like, no, stay away from that. Don't go near that. would happen. He'd have a clear path at the marathon because no one would want to be around
That's
him.
That's what Chu's saying. Parting of the Red Sea sort
just
of
get out of the way.
It did make me beg the question. Did while participating in sports, were people just kind of like laughing silently to
them? I'm sorry that we're getting to this in the final minute of the show, but where were your friends? During this entire journey, no one pulled you aside and just said, hey, man, let's go to the park. Let's go to the track.
Let's work on
what I'm saying?
Maybe he lost friends because they don't want to be associated with that.
My daughter Gianna, when she was playing basketball in like fifth or sixth grade, there was this one girl that would fall down, and before the game started, we'd have an under-over on how many times she would fall down in the game. And it was like 13. It wasn't like 4. It was like 13. I'm like, I'll take the over. Look at the other team.
Was she trying to fall? Was it like diving balls?
No, Tripping
Embiid, like
your
feet. Trying to flop and fall down?
Is there any way we could get footage maybe to dispel this of one of his high school basketball games? It's got to be out there somewhere.
I am thoroughly enjoying every time Joshy plays the video on the YouTube stream. The people who haven't seen it yet, who now step into the light, who now are exposed to this, and then are like, it's like that movie with Sandra Bullock where they make you open your eyes to it. Look at it! Look at it!
Joshy, you really got to put music to it. It would make it so much better.
The Benny Hill theme.
I don't know.
Benny Hill theme.
There's no doubt. There's no other song. Will D and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.